Our scripture reading this morning will be from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorstep of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head.
We're glad each of you is here this morning. And again, we're so grateful for all the mothers who are here. We appreciate you and all you do for your families, for your children in particular. And this morning, as we talk about motherhood from a biblical perspective, we're going to be looking at a number of passages that convey important truths that are helpful to mothers as they go through this great work. You know, you think about the privilege of motherhood, the work of motherhood given by God to mothers to be a blessing to the world. You know, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and so Eve was created. And in so doing, God not only gave the world the role of a wife, but also the role of a mother. And mothers, of course, are blessings to their children, to their families. It's a work that brings joy, a work that can bring tears, a work that lasts for many, many years. But motherhood is sometimes called the toughest job you'll ever love. It's a very difficult one, but it is one that can bring great joy. And the verses that we just read from 1 Samuel chapter 1 relate to the time in Hannah's life when she was barren. She couldn't bear children. In fact, we're told in that same context that the Lord had closed her womb. But there was the second wife of Elkanah who was very much making Hannah's life miserable because she pointed out and grieved her over the fact that Hannah didn't have any children, couldn't have children. And Hannah longed for children. And in fact, during these times, and I think through all time, it has been a desire in the hearts of many women to be able to bear children, to have families. God has put that in their hearts. Motherhood is indeed a blessing. And God, after Hannah prayed for a child, a male child specifically she prayed for, God answered her prayer, and she sung the praises of God and delighted in her child. In fact, a part of the promise that she had made so that God might bless her with a child is that if you bless me with a male child, I will give him to your service. And she did. And what a great sacrifice that was. But motherhood was something she longed for so much that she was willing to make sacrifices that other mothers did not have to make. But what a joy it brought to her life to see the work that her son did in the service of the Lord. Mother's Day is a great time of remembering mothers, something that we ought to do on a regular basis. And the Bible shows us that, in fact, motherhood, a great work, requires a number of things. And we're going to look at that this morning. So let's think about these four things. Motherhood requires love, requires hard work, requires a good example, and requires constant teaching. Think about this first idea that is expressed, and we see it in the scriptures in a number of places, but think about this basic idea that in order for a mother to love her children in the proper fashion, she must first love God in the way that the scriptures teach. We find in Mark chapter 12, in verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The Lord explained that here is a commandment which, if followed, will cause all the other things that you're to do to fall into place. And if mothers love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, it will enable them to be the mothers that God wants them to be, because they will be willing to do the work that God has given to them. And again, it's a tough work, and we'll notice that a little later on. But she will remember God's instructions to older women. This is from Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The older women were told to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There are a number of things in this passage that God has given by the Holy Spirit that in our world today would be called old-fashioned. But in fact, they were fashioned by God. They were made to be eternal, abiding principles for humanity for all time, because they make the home what people really want from the home. But a lot of times people don't know how to get it, because they look to society, they look to pleasures, they look to the wisdom of the world that says, here's how you can find fulfillment and find happiness. But God shows, here's the way. And the older women who've already learned these things, and if they're Christian women, they know these things, they've been taught them themselves, but they then convey these things to the younger women, these truths that involve loving husbands, loving children, being homemakers, living a pure life, being obedient to their husbands, and all of that so that the Word of God, he says, is not blasphemed. In other words, here's what the Word of God teaches. Are they living that or not? And if you're not living consistently with what you profess to be, then certainly the Word of God could be blasphemed. But there is a story that is told by Bonnie Miller. She told of her minister's wife, who filled out a form in her pediatrician's office. Beside the blank where it's marked occupation, there were these words: if you devote the greater part of your time to loving, caring, and making a home for your family, put a big star in this place. The work of motherhood is rightly praised and exalted for the honorable and valuable work that it is. And it doesn't matter what the world views the role of motherhood and the work of motherhood, God says, here's what it is, and that's how we must view it, and exalt those who've been blessed to be mothers. Love affects her priorities as well. As we see in Luke chapter 10, here's a general principle that can be applied to many situations and certainly to motherhood as well. But think of God's words, or the Lord's words, Jesus' words to Martha on that occasion. When he had come to the house of Mary and Martha, says there in verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. The Lord was pointing out that Mary had viewed learning from the Lord as a higher priority than worrying about the tasks that involved getting things ready and all of that. The Lord would have been fine to just have both of these sisters learn from him and then later deal with the other things that needed to be done, even though it involved maybe serving him, providing for him. And he says, I'm not going to tell her differently. She has prioritized properly. She has chosen the good part. You know, there are things, many things in life that can distract us from the good part that God wants us to be focused on in our various roles that we have. And certainly there are distractions that can cause mothers to be off doing things that are not the top priority for a mother. And those can be distracting. We have a short period of time with our children to influence them, to teach them, to mold and shape them. And that time once passed cannot be recaptured again. You can't go back in time. priorities must be proper. And the Lord shows us the importance of making, choosing the right priorities. And He praises that, certainly here. But love also affects her actions. It affects her actions. You think about the example of Jochebed, the mother of Moses in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. She loves her child dearly. The command has already gone out that all of these young children are going to be killed by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. But she has been hiding her child. But it comes to the point where he can no longer be hidden. He's making too much noise, whatever it is. But when she could no longer hide him, what did she do? She took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And she sends her older daughter to watch to see what's going to happen to her child. But here's the point. She's willing to do whatever she has to do to save that child's life, to make sure that he lives. That seems to be the very nature of motherhood, and what a wonderful example. But think about the spiritual application. Mothers need to do whatever it takes so that the souls of their children will be preserved, so that they will not be influenced by the evil of the world, so that they will not be pulled away from God, so that they will not be harmed in various ways, including their spiritual direction in which they are led. We see that same concern not only in the mother of Moses, but a harlot who is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 26, who is ready to give up her child so that the child would live. Solomon there in dividing between the discerning between which is the true mother. The two harlots had infants. One of them in the night rolled over on her child and it was killed. It died. Both claimed. She then claimed that the other woman's child was hers. And there was the dispute. Solomon had to decide who was the true mother. And when he said in his wisdom, "Bring me a sword, I'll cut the child in two, and we'll split the child between the two women," the true mother, of course, immediately responds. "The woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, 'O my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him.'" She had compassion, love. It affected her actions. And of course, this basic principle is true. When we love our children, we will make sure that we are going to do whatever needs to be done to tend to all of the needs that they have and fulfill the role that God has given to mothers as those who are the nurturers, those who care for those children, especially in those at-home years of life. There is a poem that is written regarding mothers, and it's called "A Mother's Prayer," written by Glenda Irvin. And it's a takeoff of what the Lord spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. And here's what she says: "Blessed are the poor in allowance, for this will teach them the value of savings. Blessed are those who mourn, for I have a bandage for every boo-boo. Blessed are the meek, for they shall always share their toys. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for I have cookies and milk. Blessed are the merciful, for they will stop picking on their little sister. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will not lie when I ask if they have brushed their teeth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for I have a headache. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the name I have given them, for they will appreciate it when they grow up. Blessed are my children. When other children make fun of the way I dress you, you are persecuted because I insist we pack your lunch. Others ridicule you because all the other kids are doing it, and I won't let you. Rejoice and be glad that you have to take a nap, be in bed by 9 p.m., have a curfew on school nights, must finish the food on your plate. Blessed are my children. I do these things because I love you." So you think about the work of a mother, not always appreciated, not always valued at the time, but it is certainly because of love that mothers guide and do the things that they do for the children, themselves being led by God the principles in His Word. Love, of course, yields sacrifice. And we read about the greatest work in all of the world and how that it is so vital. God emphasizes that in His Word. There is a statement that has been made about the greatest work. And of course, that is true here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, where the Apostle Paul, as he speaks about widows, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives a special exhortation to those who are younger, who have been made widows. And he says, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary, to speak reproachfully." So the instruction of Paul is instruction that comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is thus telling these women that God's will is bear children, manage the house. So that comes from heaven, a divinely explained work of women become mothers, take care of the house, as we saw in the other passage, love your children. You provide for them in these various ways. There are women in this world today who have left behind work outside of the home for a very important work, to be mothers to their children. They will only be children once, and how quickly those years fly away. There, of course, are the mothers who long to be home with their children full time, and she is living frugally and ready to sacrifice all the non-essentials, but even so, sometimes one income is insufficient to cover the essentials, pay the bills, and yet her heart is full of those precious souls, and she makes the most of every moment she has with them, working toward the goal of being back with them. And of course, husbands sometimes have to take on extra work and do so that things can be in accordance with the plan that God has set forth in His Word. We see, as Richard Kerr once said concerning this work that mothers have, that it is a very demanding work and, yes, involves selflessness. Sacrificial mothers willingly set aside much time that they could take for themselves as they work on that job of molding that living clay, the lives of those children. But let's think about this, that a mother's work requires very hard work. It's like the virtuous wife we find in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. She's praised by her husband. She's praised by her children. Why? Because of her diligence. She works on behalf of her family. She provides for their needs. She does what needs to be done, and she finds praise from them. We see that this work is most certainly a very demanding work. Motherhood is physically demanding. It's emotionally demanding. It is mentally demanding work. And again, there's a quote by Richard Kerr. He says, "The most creative job in the world involves fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, literature, art, economics, government, pediatrics, entertainment, maintenance, purchasing, law, religion, energy, and management. Anyone who can handle all those has to be somebody special. She's a homemaker." It's been said that there are 8 common challenges that are faced by mothers of young children. Number 1 is low self-esteem. Number 2, monotony and loneliness. Number 3, stress from too many demands. Number 4, lack of time with husband. Number 5, confusion about discipline. Number 6, home atmosphere. Number 7, need for outside role models. Number 8, training of children. This is from Susan Yates in a book, And Then I Had Children. The idea is that it is a difficult work. And there's need for encouragement. There's need for direction and guidance. God, of course, is our chief guide who shows the way. But then again, as we remember, the older women can help the younger women. And there is mutual edification, encouraging of one another. And then, of course, there's the important place of the husband to help his wife to see how much he appreciates the sacrifices that she has made. to remind her of the great value in the work that she is doing, to help her with a day's remaining work when he gets home, take out the kids for several hours, let mom have some downtime, make regular time for just the two of you. But that woman also, the mother of those children, she trusts in and she leans on her source of strength. She knows that her work has one who will assist her with it. As Paul made this statement in Philippians 4:13, it applies to the Christian life in general. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And a woman who relies upon God will succeed in her work as a mother. But of course, it also requires motherhood does a good example. There is a poem by the title, A Mother's Influence. It says, I took a piece of plastic clay. I idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. Then form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. The idea of a mother's influence is expressed in that poem. The woman who looks to God's word and influences her child in that direction has something to be proud of and to be grateful for she has done the work that she could do while she had those years when he is at home. She is at home to guide. And even though a child, when they leave home, makes their own choices, sometimes the wrong choices, they can remember and look back to the proper teaching that they had, and prayerfully and hopefully will return to those things one day. But those early years can leave that treasure in their hearts that they can come back to or maintain and stay with. It serves as a guide to them all their days. She will be a great example to her children in her prayer, in her Bible study, her assembling with the saints, her Christian brothers and sisters at every occasion. Her children will see and know what she puts first in her life. Matthew 6 and verse 33. She seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and trusts in God for all the other things that the family needs that will be provided. She lives a life of purity, as we read in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And she models that before her children. It also requires, motherhood does, constant teaching. Like Lois and Eunice, who we read of in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, you think about Paul, his great work, he had people that helped him. Timothy was one of them. Timothy was a young man who had great faith. How did it get there? We're told it was from his grandmother and his mother. They were women of faith. They taught Stephen so that within his heart were learned these things that made him the kind of man who saw God's work as a valuable thing and lived his life for God. What a beautiful contribution they made to the Lord's work by training this young man. And of course, the teaching that is done will be teaching about loving God, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, where Moses emphasizes that all of the things that God had given to his people, all the commands, they're to walk in those commands. How will they show that? He says in verse 5, by loving the Lord God with all of your heart, just like Jesus would reemphasize during his ministry. And then he explained in the verses that follow that you're to teach these things to your children and your grandchildren. And you talk of them throughout the day, when you walk in the way, when you rise, when you lie down, and so forth. All of this shows constant teaching. And mothers being there with their children can do this effectively because they value that time and that opportunity to mold and shape them according to God's will. And of course, they will teach their children something very valuable, which sometimes is lost, and that is serving others. It's easy to be selfish, and children can grow into that very quickly, but teaching them just the opposite, to think about others, to not think only about self, is vitally important. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4 express this truth very clearly, that we're to do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then in 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. These words, these ideas convey, think about others, care about others, treat people right, be selfless, do for others. Don't think about only yourself. And teaching these concepts, these ways, put them in the hearts of children from a young age is a great thing that mothers can do to make good people in this life, people who make a difference in the lives of others, people who touch others' lives, and then other people will listen to what they say, and they, because you've taught them, will be able to teach the gospel to those who are lost. And they will, of course, teach their children about work, that we're to be hard workers, that we are to do what God's will is and never, ever give up, that life is not easy, and that we must apply ourselves diligently to the things that God has entrusted with us. Albert Hubbard once said, when parents do too much for their children, the children will not do much for themselves. That's a principle to think upon, and it's a true statement. You just do for them and don't teach them to do for themselves, you can actually harm them. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. We can teach our children to learn this vital ethic of being diligent, hard workers for the Lord. Therefore, all of these things and more are things that the Word of God conveys to us about motherhood. And as we've seen here, look at these great and valuable things. Motherhood requires love. It requires hard work, a good example, constant teaching. And in following the principles that we've looked at this morning from God's Word, it shapes a woman into a mother who makes the world a better place because she's following God's will in regard to such things. Therefore, what a blessing they are and how grateful we should be for them. God's will is very clear to see, and as we walk therein, we obtain benefits and blessings in this life, and in the end, of course, eternal life. But think about your own soul this morning. Think about where you stand before God. Are you at this present moment saved and cleansed of all your sins? Do you have in your heart the certainty that should you pass on from this life, you will be saved? The Lord enables us to have that certainty. He shows us that He has devised a means by which we can be saved from our sins, because all have sinned. And He shows us that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can attain salvation. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is where it all begins. And then turning away from a life of sin and repentance, confessing our faith in Jesus, being baptized so that our sins can be washed away by His blood, is the means by which God brings us into His family, into the church. And then faithfully living, following God's will for your life, is how you show God that you love Him, and it's how you maintain that faithful walk and stay in the good grace of God. If you're not yet a Christian, we can help you to do that. We can study with you further for that matter. If you're already a child of God, reflect upon your life today as His child. Are you faithful? Do you need to come home? Can we help you in that? We'd be glad to. And if you need to come, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.